KSCU Santa Clara presents. Robots Attack. Movies. TV. Video games. Comic books. Tech stuff. News. Music. If it is geek, it's on Robots Attack. Participate in the show by commenting on Facebook, tweeting them at RobotsAttackMe, emailing the show robotsattackshow@gmail.com. Now, Robots Attack.
That's right. Welcome to Robots Attack. I am Joe, and with me, as always, Caleb.
Hello, everyone.
And we've brought some special guests that you all know and love.
Some friends, you might say. Friends of the show.
Yes.
Well, at least no.
Sure.
Yeah.
Speak for yourself.
We have Jen and Super Jason, so.
In case you couldn't tell by the voices.
Hello.
Yeah. Yo.
All right. So, if you're new to the show, we are Robots Attack, the one and only geek-centric talk show on KSCU Santa Clara. We bring you geek news, geek entertainment, all that sort of
stuff. Geek culture.
Exactly. So, please stick around for the next couple hours. Hopefully, we will entertain you with all that jazz and, yeah.
Yeah.
So, how have you been, Caleb?
This week's been pretty good. The highlight of this week was the beginning of an interview process for a possible job opportunity.
Nice.
Yep. I'm trying not to get too overly excited about it because, you know, it's all still like in someone else's control, but it's could potentially be very cool. So, and the opportunity, the getting that much closer to the opportunity to work again is or study work, I should say, is definitely welcome.
Yeah. Yeah. Because for a while you had work, but it was, mm-hmm. it was on a contract basis. So.
Yeah. And technically the contract is still active. It's just for the moment the company that has the contract doesn't have much for me to do. So I don't have much to do that in that respect right now. So
I gotcha.
Contractually obligated to do. Yeah, a little.
Yeah.
How about Jen?
Hi. not a whole lot going on. I've gone back to Batman Arkham City because decided I need to put down the shooters for a little while. So having fun with that.
Blasphemy. No.
I know the feeling though, Jen.
Yeah. She prefers beating the crud out of people mano a mano.
My bare fists.
But do fists manos, of justice.
Understandable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
And you're not sick, right?
Yes. Okay. Yes. Listen to me. I'm not sneezing. I'm not coughing. No, just kidding.
That was acting, folks.
Where's Miami?
It's right outside, right over there in that bin that has stuff in it.
It's called trash.
Trache?
It's
yes, French.
It's French. How about yourself, Super Jason?
As Jen was pointing out just a moment ago, I sort of look like I went through a battle or something with my arm, but it's really no big deal. Just random small work things that ended up making me look like I'm survived some sort of mutant apocalypse or something like that.
Nice.
And he's got a scratch. He has a bald spot on his arm, ladies and gentlemen at home. A bald spot. Which to me says fire.
No, I'm just trying something new. It's very in right now. Haven't you seen it? I'm going to turn it into a design of some sort. Maybe.
Maybe.
Nice.
No, it is actually an unfortunate splattering of little globules of hot glue is all it was. For a little while, I had hair that was magically bonded to like each hair to the next one. Uh-huh. And it didn't look horrible, but it felt really weird.
I can imagine.
Yeah, that sounds dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, before we get to the new release of this week.
Well, how about you? How are you doing, Joe? We almost skipped you. We can't do that.
I'm fine. I do have some stuff to talk about, but I'll save it for...
It relates to the things further in? All right,
which we'll get to later. But before that, we're going to have Jen.
Yay, Jen.
Read a PSA for you all.
Huzzah. The Santa Clara Central Park Library will be offering an upcoming genealogy class. This class will help you discover what documents you have, what documents you need, and what to do with the information you have found. You will learn what is available from vital records, as well as other kinds of sources. The class will explain family group sheets and pedigree charts and show you how to get started in filling them out. It will also give you an introduction into sourcing your information. This class will take place on March 20th from 1 o'clock to 4:30 p.m. Pre-registration is required. To register, call 408-615-2986. The library is located at 2635 Homestead Road in Santa Clara.
All right.
Yeah, don't just go to a website that does that. That's lazy.
True, yeah. And you get to hold the papers yourselves, you know.
Get all analog on this.
Yeah. Holding paper is nice.
Mm-hmm. I'm thrilled right now.
I can tell for the audience out there. Oh yeah,
well, there it is.
This beautiful paper, beautiful paper,
wood pulp
over the airwaves.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let us get to the new releases of this week.
Yes,
in theaters we have 21 and Over, starring Miles Teller, Skylar Astin. Then we have A Fierce Green Fire: The Battle for a Living Planet. We also have A Place at the Table. Then we have a movie called Day of the Falcon with Antonio Banderas and Mark Strong. Oh. We also have Future Weather and Genius on Hold. Here I Learned How to Love.
Sounds like a bunch of really interesting choices this week.
Probably the biggest one is Jack the Giant Slayer in 3D, IMAX 3D.
When those giants just need to be that much bigger.
Mm-hmm. Oh, there's apparently a new Ed Harris movie called Phantom.
Oh, there you go.
Phantom.
Mm-hmm. Some movie called Stoker.
Totally
Bram
stoked.
Stoker.
another one called Stuck.
Dang, okay.
We got The Condemned.
Is that based on the game or no?
I have no idea. Oh, The Last Exorcism Part 2. There you go.
There you go.
I'm excited.
The Lost Medallion. Looks like a lot of various kinds of movies. So
mm-hmm.
One of those weeks of pick a genre, there's a movie for it.
Yeah, there you go. It's a similarly interesting smattering of DVD Blu-ray releases. There's A Simple Life, which is a Chinese film with subtitles, obviously. A movie called Chasing Mavericks on Blu-ray and DVD. This one's about big wave surfing. Then there's The Master on Blu-ray and DVD. If you need to know more about that one, there's a thing called the internet. Twilight Saga Breaking Dawn Part 2, Blu-ray and DVD.
Yay!
Yes.
My favorite part about that is that it means it can now slip out of the mass consciousness and we won't have to hear about it incessantly for a while.
True story.
Until the new TV show shows up or something, I'm sure will happen.
The animated series, totally inappropriate for children.
Lego Twilight game.
That sounds awesome.
Sparkly minifigs.
Yeah.
Then rounding it out with Silent Souls, another foreign film. This one from Russia. So it's on DVD. Do we got time for a synopsis or should I skip it?
Let's move on.
Okay.
Okay, into video games. We have Brutal Legend for the PC. Yeah, I know you're thinking, that came out long, long, long time ago. Well, not for the PC, but now it is. We have Sniper Elite, Nazi Zombie Army for the PC. We have Dynasty Warriors 7 Empires for the PlayStation 3. We have the Halo 4 Majestic Map Pack that dropped, obviously, for the 360. Mass Effect 3 got some multiplayer DLC Reckoning.
Yes, it did.
For 360, PC, and PS3. Ninja Gaiden Sigma 2 Plus for the Vita. Real Racing 3. We have, Elder Scrolls finally got Dawnguard for the PS3. They're finally getting the DLC for Skyrim.
Yay.
And on the PC and Vita, Oddworld Munch's Odyssey HD. So, not the
then.
Biggest of weeks.
Yeah. Oh, come on, load page.
But in next week, some big releases drop. But
yes. So. Some reviews for some of those have one in particular title in particular have been showing up. Why connect?
Gosh, shall I drive it on?
Yes. Maybe move on to somebody else, and we'll come back.
I'm
to
doing
that.
The stringing out.
Well,
or whatever.
Okay, I'll tell the folks about tonight's show, and you
sounds
just
good.
Give me the cue when that's ready. Hopefully,
yeah.
So we're gonna be talking about again. We are Robots Attack, the one and only geek-centric talk show on KSCU. In the core tonight, we're gonna discuss some video games that we've played. And our big topic will be, well, I'm going to have Jason mention it since it was his idea, Super Jason. So,
well, I was kind of thinking it's interesting how we have a bunch of things coming together, like, Wreck-It Ralph and the epic battleship movie and the
epic is one way to describe that movie.
Yeah. And the in the process of being created Spy Hunter movie, that I thought it would be interesting taking the games from our childhood and whether they're board games and more probably video games and making them into Oscar winning movies, since Battleship definitely wasn't an Oscar-winning movie.
What are you saying? I heard Rihanna's performance was amazing.
I'm sure it was.
It was one of the better parts of the movie.
Oh, okay.
Which isn't saying very much.
It's really the only reason why I wanted to see the movie, but still didn't see it, so that probably says something, I guess. But
yeah.
Anyway.
You saved yourself about an hour and a half of your life.
So yeah, the topic for the evening, well, the grand topic for the evening is going to be us figuring out our own twists and figuring out appropriately pixelated video games and whatnot to make into something spectacular.
Sounds good. So stick around for that later on in the show. And now we have comic releases.
That's right. The technology gods finally smiled on me.
Nothing bad happened. Nothing happened.
Right. We're
smooth running
professional
show.
That's
here.
Right. Let's see. Aquaman number 17 is looking fairly good. Batman the Dark Knight number 17. It's hard to go wrong with a Batman title. That's DC. On Marvel's side, Guardians of the Galaxy 0.01. Part of the new Now line.
Now.
is coming out. This week, Uncanny Avengers number 4 looks like it could be interesting. Over on the indie side, Angel in Faith number 17. Then there's The Rocketeer, Hollywood Horror number 1. Five Weapons number 1. That one sounds intriguing. Masks number 4. And I'm going to round out with the webcomic of this week, and it's called Vacant. And it's about sci-fi, and it's a sci-fi comic about the near extinction of humanity. So, should be pretty cool there.
Awesome. Alrighty, well, we're gonna take a quick music break, but before that, let's tease them some news stories.
News? Well, let's see. You've heard of the planet Vulcan.
Yes.
It's supposed to be far away, but it might get a lot closer.
Ooh, all right. And?
I'm going to have a really exciting story about microchips.
I'm excited.
All right.
I don't want to give away too much.
Oh, I know. You just gotta tease them, give them a little taste, and then make them come back for more.
Mm-hmm.
All right. We'll be back right after this music break. We are Robots Attack.
News.
Hello, everyone. We're in the news section of Robots Attack, and I teased you with something about Vulcan. Well, apparently, not so long ago, the NASA and a couple of other people got together and said, you know, we need to name the moons of Pluto. And two names, and then so they put it out to the public for a popular vote about like what they should be called. And William Shatner put forward that one of them should be called Vulcan. And it took the most popular vote for some reason.
Yeah, go figure.
The second most popular choice was Cerberus, which would, I think, be good on many levels also. One, it follows the themes of Pluto's planet, Pluto the planet name, and also the surrounding moons, because they're all named after beings of the underworld. And also, it is a wonderful Mass Effect reference, so I think it wins on many levels there.
Yeah, sounds good to me.
Yeah, and now these are just popular votes, so you know the council that does the naming of planets and stuff, astrological bodies, will still have their final say on it, but so far those two are in the lead, and there's a decent case to be made for both of them.
Who cares what they think?
So there you go.
It's all about the people.
You could actually, we could have Vulcan very close to home.
Nice.
Well, it sounds like it probably is a done deal, though, right? Or
no, this was a vote for the names to be submitted.
Oh, okay.
And then the council will
well, they're not going to go against them. That, right? I mean,
yeah, I don't know.
Everything should be popular votes.
Yes, everything. Because that's never backfired on anyone before. So who's next? Jason, you got one?
Oh, yes, I do. Okay. Well, my incredibly interesting story about microchips is basically about trying to make them as tiny as possible. I know that probably isn't saying much considering like all of the crazy things that are doing with them these days, but imagine, if you will, a microchip that is only 2 by 2 by 0.5 millimeters.
Whoa.
That effectively is a self-contained computer.
In a world where your computer is smaller than your thumbnail.
Yeah. The picture that ended up grabbing my attention is it's one of these things sitting on a regular keyboard key, mm-hmm. and it's like an eighth the size of a normal computer keyboard key.
That is kind of nuts.
Yeah, and totally, totally thin, too. So yeah. The entire idea behind it is to actually treat them like the chips that you eat.
Okay.
So they're basically trying to make a pill type of chip that can be paired with devices or made to do medical technology type stuff or whatnot. Uh-huh. And it's actually progressing really well. Right now, the stats aren't super, I don't know, they won't blow your mind, but the fact that they are able to even do it is kind of something.
Yeah.
It's a 48 megahertz processor, which... not bad, but...
considering the size.
Yeah.
Right. Better than most calculators.
Yeah. Fair sight.
32K of flash memory and 4K of actual RAM on the thing, too.
All on the same... Oh. On the one device. That's...
all on one chip that's 2 by 2 by 0.5 millimeters. Wow.
That could unlock all sorts of things for, like, scientific research devices, where it's like, we want to send the whole computer down with the sensors to mm-hmm. do this thing. Or satellites, you know, spray of satellites or whatever. This could be very cool.
Yeah, and let's see. They had, and of course now my device isn't working. But anyway, the way that they were planning it is to have it so it would be a completely sold in mass-produced lots. And so they... estimated they would end up being some completely insane cost per chip because they were supposed to be sold to companies in lots of 100,000.
Ah, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
There you go.
But, I'll throw the link on so it'll have that dollar amount and as much, and actually the picture too, so everybody can take a gander.
Yeah, if you go to our Facebook page, we link all the stories we do and everything like that. So definitely want to go and check that out. All right, Jen, I believe you actually have a story for us this week as well.
I do. So, talking about putting...
Too bad no one cares, though.
Oh. Oh.
I didn't turn the mic off.
Yeah, you didn't. You didn't.
See? Credit to you.
Man, you guys. But anyways, talking about putting all these intricate things onto something that's really, really small. So, actually, so researcher, according to LifeScience.com, researchers have actually built a robot with bat wings.
Yes. Okay.
So, to sort of understand the intricacies here, a bat's wing has 25 joints because it basically has its fingers in its wings.
Mm. The wing is the hand.
Yeah.
Equivalent.
Yeah. So, I mean, there were some comparisons on the website about like how an insect wing only has one joint, you know, at the shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
So they have built this machine with 8-inch wings. So they have all these intricate moving parts. And some of the applications for this is that they're actually trying to develop mini unarmed flying craft, for instances where it isn't safe for people to go in and see what's in there, you know, so they can send in these crafts.
Okay.
But an actual flapping machine, which we don't really have at this point, everything is straight arm or...
Rotating.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So there's that. And it also has the benefit of, you know, giving the researchers... a better idea of the understanding of a bat swing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They went through a lot of phases where it's just like, how the heck does this happen in nature?
How do we make it fly?
Yeah, and they had problems with tendon snapping and, mm-hmm. you know, the membrane of the wing, you know, tearing. And it's just like, man, you know, nature has this down. Why can't we do this?
Yeah, well, it's like, you know, they try to replicate, like, the bee flying. It's like... aerodynamically, it shouldn't be able to fly, but yet it goes forward, backwards, up, down.
And yeah.
If you get the right wind, it'll go sideways, you know?
Yeah. So very cool things in nature happening that scientists are trying to emulate.
Very cool. The more we know about the world, the better we understand it.
Yes,
so
yes.
So cool.
I agree. Speaking of understanding,
oh,
a story from MercuryNews.com, Northern California dialect down to about 12 speakers.
What?
Yeah. I had no idea about this, but Boonville, a Northern California dialect that is one of just two homegrown languages in the United States, may soon go extinct. Huh. The San Francisco Chronicle reported on Tuesday that there are only about a dozen speakers of Boonting left, the dialect from the area around the small Mendocino County town of Boonville. Consists of more than 1,500 words, many of them drawn from local names. The Chronicle says a phone booth, for example, is a Bucky waiter. Because a century ago, someone named... Bucky Walter.
Aha.
Because a century ago, someone named Walter had the first phone in the area and charged a nickel. Then called a Buckeye to use it. Other words are variations of existing nouns. The exact origins of Boonting are not known, but linguists experts say only Appalachian English in the southeastern United States is similar in scope.
Wow. Fascinating.
So there you go. Northern California has more than just things that will not be named that are special about it.
Yeah. Well, there you go, then. That's fascinating. So,
well, so if you know someone that speaks that, like, I don't know, write it down or something.
Yeah. All right, so from the Northwest, we transfer to the Northeast, and we talk about Boston.
There's a dialect.
Yeah, definitely. You may remember Zynga, the social gaming giant, which many people have different views on. In terms of integrity, well, they recently went through some struggles, and they closed off their Boston branch. Well, the people that were out in Boston decided that instead of separating and going their separate ways, figured, well, let's do something else. Let's reunite and reforge and resurge.
Become something new.
Become something new. They have created the independent studio Proletariat. Which is the people, essentially.
Okay.
And
not Zunga?
No, not Zunga. That would have been pretty awesome, though. So they're still sticking with the idea of social gaming, but they say that they're targeting the tablet devices. So it's like they aren't replicating Farmville, but they're taking the ideas they learned from working on these properties and saying, you know, we can do this in a more interesting way, in a less spammy destroy your Facebook feed sort of way.
Okay.
So it should be very interesting. They have people that have worked for other large gaming companies like Insomniac, Turbine, and Harmonix. So they have talent. Now let's just see what they do with it. But it's nice to know that it didn't just go bust and then turn into more bust. It bursted forth from the egg and became something new.
A xenomorph, I think. Or a zengamorph.
Oh, nice.
Zunga, Zunga, Zunga. Zumba.
A Zumba morph?
Yeah. Numa, Numa,
it's very
yeah.
fake.
Numa, Numa, Numa. Oh, wait, no, it's something else entirely still.
What was that about a Roomba?
Oh.
Oh, man.
Oh, the silliness that is Robots Attack.
Yes. Oh, the final part of the story is their debut game is going to be Letter Rush, a twist on Find a Word mechanic games. So, okay. Letters jumbled, make sense out of them. So, should be interesting.
Well, if you are just tuning, we are Robots Attack, the one and only geek-centric talk show on KSCU. We are in the news portion of our show, and I believe Super Jason will give us our next story.
I might do
the
that.
Next story.
Okay.
I see him writing things down and mm-hmm. getting all prepared and everything. So.
Well, okay.
Oh, boy.
This
sit down, folks. Strap. Get ready. Focus. Well, if you're driving, focus on the road.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's way more important.
Mm-hmm. Okay. This story actually came from Gizmodo, and it threw me off at first because I was thinking, okay, wow, this is a really neat way that they're going to recycle something that they're not using and make it into something really handy for future technology and whatnot.
Okay.
But then they did sort of a bait and switch, but it's still kind of an interesting story.
Okay.
It's basically GE has been working for a long time now, and apparently they're getting close to doing it at this point. On replacing the catapults for aircraft carriers from having them be basically a steam-powered launcher into a completely electric launcher. And so you might ask, well, why would they even do this in the first place? Well,
why is it still steam?
Well, here's the thing.
Science.
I'd seen a documentary a long time ago about like why it's steam and why it ends up working so well and everything like that, and it all sort of clicked together that it made perfect sense because it's effectively most of these ships are run off nuclear power. They already have a bunch of steam coming off from cooling the thing. Use the steam for all of the boilers, for doing every little thing that is kind of nuclear technology from like 60s era. So basically they use nuclear power, create steam, and then steam does everything. So really the first aircraft carriers that were run off nuclear power is as steampunk as you can get. And sadly this is kind of the death of steampunk in a way, because they've changed things around, so they just produce pure energy now. And so now they don't have boilers or really need them for anything. They don't use it for heating the ship or all the other little things like that. But they produce tons and tons of electricity.
You know, when you said pure energy, I instantly thought of that 80s song where it has like Leonard Nimoy going, pure energy, like sampled in it.
It's understandable. It's very memorable.
That's where my brain went.
But beyond that,
back to submarines,
right?
Aircraft carriers.
So the story, it was a bait and switch because it was talking about the Superman roller coaster and how they were going to change the Superman roller coaster into a aircraft carrier launcher.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. When really they were just talking about the technology, because it uses the entire maglev technology that just uses pure energy to launch a roller coaster ride.
Oh, okay.
And so at first it was like this really cool story to me because it was saying the Superman coaster could possibly be launching F-35s in the future, and it had the picture, and I was just imagining them flying off of this big ramp, mm-hmm. and it was really exciting to me, and then I read, and it was like, But still, I mean, it is a pretty neat bit of tech, and it'd be nice if we can make that conversion, mm-hmm. although it is kind of sad to see steampunk kind of die in our military.
Yeah, but efficiency does sort of trump
No.
Super Jason will not have it.
Maximum
efficiency. You stop right there. No trumping going on here. Okay, we'll let it trump.
Yeah, I'd like to see you do that with your hair.
No, that's probably not going to happen.
Oh, I don't know. That'd be pretty awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I got a story from Florida.
Oh, nice.
Hello, Florida.
This should be interesting.
Hopefully someone out there got that Simpsons reference. Okay, this story from NBC News. Florida man shot by his dog, police say. That's right.
Liking it.
A Florida man was shot and wounded over the weekend by his dog, who walked away without charges, police say. Gregory Dale Lanner, 35, of Frostproof, Florida, told police Saturday that he and his dog were in their truck in nearby Sebring when the dog kicked a gun that was on the truck's floor. Maybe you shouldn't have a loaded gun
on
your
the floor.
Car. Yeah. While you're driving. The Highlands Tribune newspaper reported the gun went off, shooting Lanier in the leg, Sebring police said.
Well, that's not fair. Maybe the dog accidentally loaded the gun at the exact same time.
Yeah, accidentally.
Yeah, maybe. We'll make some notes on that. And
I sense premeditation.
Yeah. Yeah, what kind of dog was it? Lanier wasn't seriously injured, said Sebring Police Commander Steve Carr, who actually said police didn't arrest the dog because the investigation was pending. He also said, he also said he had never heard of a similar case. According to the police report, Lanier said he was driving along State Road 17 North when the dog kicked the unloaded 38 pistol. It went on to say that Lanier was surprised to learn not only that the gun was loaded, but also that it was actually a 9mm weapon, not a 38.
Yeah, premeditation.
So, I'm sensing a grassy knoll or something.
That incident is the only latest in a string of bizarre shootings in Florida. Just last week, a woman in St. Petersburg was wounded when she was shot by a friend's oven.
Wait,
Did you just say oven?
Yep. Hello, Florida!
Where inanimate objects can kill you.
Yeah.
Or at least shoot at you.
Yeah.
Get down! The microwave is armed!
Yeah. So if you're going to Florida, bring some protection.
Get down! It's the microwave!
So you're recommending that I go to Florida. I'm sorry for mispronouncing it, but go to Florida like completely loaded with weapons and just unload on every single thing that could possibly shoot me, other than human beings. I mean,
and ovens apparently.
Probably not. I'm not that recommending oven. You do that.
It's threatening me.
That's entirely up to you.
You got to get the ovens before they get you.
You have free will.
I am not visiting you in jail in Florida. I'm sorry.
It's just a simple question.
Okay. Like, taking things seriously all of a sudden.
Yeah.
Good.
Okay. All right. So I believe that's going to wrap up our news portion of the show.
Sure.
All right. Before we get to another music break and then Caleb's Corner,
hey.
We're going to have Jen read another fabulous PSA for you folks.
PSA, PSA, woo. PSA. The Library of Congress has unveiled congress.gov. This is a new website that will eventually replace thomas.gov as the government site for accessing free, fact-based legislative information. The congress.gov site includes bill status and summary, bill text, House and Senate member profiles, and a number of new features, including effective display on mobile devices. To learn more, you can visit congress.gov.
All right.
That's awesome.
Okay, like I said, we're going to take a quick music break and then come back with Caleb's Corner. Would you like to tease the folks of what tonight's Caleb's Corner is going to be all about?
Astronomy.
Ooh.
Yay.
Science.
Yay.
Space. And gravity.
Ooh.
Gravity.
Oh, sorry. I have to be grave about this. Ooh.
I see what you did there.
Oh, boy.
Quick, music break.
Yeah, yeah. All right.
Before the puns
wasn't
continue.
Quick enough with the mute yeah. that time.
I know, I'm getting sloppy. I thought I'd be nice, but nice over. All right, we are Robots Attack.
And now, it's time for Caleb's Corner.
Hello, everyone. Yes, it's time for Caleb's Corner, where I find a story that I find absolutely fascinating. Today, it's astronomy.
Yay!
And astronomy is also very cool because space, as like this, as I like to quote from Douglas Adams,
it's very small.
Big. Really, 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 really big. If you think that walk down from your house down to the store for is a long walk, then it's just peanuts compared to what space is. It goes
That's
on
true.
From there.
Yeah.
But specifically, one of the more fascinating elements in space is the black hole, and why what makes the black hole like infinitely so much more interesting than most.
That Disney movie with the cool robots.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. That only exists in one place, and that is in some very obscure movie collection.
Yes, and they're remaking that one with the director from Tron Legacy. But that's not quite what I'm thinking about. I'm talking about the actual astrological body type that we call the black hole. We're still trying to actually see one.
That makes sense.
See
that
one.
Sounds more like you.
In this case. But this article that I found is talking about an aspect of a black hole that I hadn't really considered before, and that is their rotation.
Oh, yeah. Everything in the universe rotates.
That's right. Everything rotates, and because of mass, let me back up here. So everything rotates, and everything has mass. That's the observable universe anyways. And when stars go nova or just generally when they start to collapse, they eventually reach a point where their mass is so dense that they start to attract the escape velocity from their gravity field is, or their gravity effect is, faster than the speed of light. At which point they start they are classified
as
a black hole.
I've got like a John Mayer song stuck in my head now, so I apologize for that. I'll be zoning out now that you said gravity.
Okay. So when you reach the point where you have become the star has become a black hole, it's still spinning because the star was spinning before, and there's a thing called angular momentum, I believe is the phrase. Anyways, it's okay.
You got me back with angular momentum. I was kind of.
So like when you watch the Winter Olympics and you see the figure skaters do their thing and they have where they're spinning and then their arms go out and they come back in and they spin faster and slower and faster and slower.
I learned about this. Yeah.
It's this a star the mass the same effect of expanding and shrinking their arms that makes the ice skaters spin faster or slower is the same for all massive bodies, including black holes. Now, in this case, as the ice skaters' arms condense, their form becomes smaller, their speed increases. Black holes even more so. So now imagine a body so massive that it is beyond the speed of light to escape its gravity, and it's spinning at the same time. That you're basically like just imagine the fastest like a drill bit, and then at its highest rate, and then increase that by a whole lot, and you're still not anywhere near how fast this thing is going.
Right. Imagine that trip to the grocery store, and imagine that as a drill bit spinning really fast, and then make it a much larger trip.
Much, much larger trip. Much.
My head explode. Okay. All
right.
And
what am I getting at the grocery store?
Drill bits.
Okay.
I don't think they have those at grocery stores anyway.
Psh, not your lame grocery stores.
But where this an aspect of this becomes kind of interesting is that the angular momentum can be increased even more so by adding matter that the star is pulling in, because the matter won't come in just straight on at the black hole. It's going to come in and be affected by the gravity, and it will, as it pulls in, it's going to actually change its angle, and so as it draws in more matter, it could potentially be increasing its speed.
Oh my goodness!
Without significantly increasing its mass,
yeah, like that's kind of scary.
So, like these things are just so incredibly strange, because you apply physics to it and you get infinity, and that,
oh my brain,
yeah. Yeah, physicists have the same reaction. They're like, God, no, infinity is not an acceptable answer to this.
Right.
So this is just kind of more about a little more research into what a black hole is, how it works, and why kind of they're interesting, and also why this sort of feeds into the idea that that people are having, that at the center of galaxies is either a really big black hole or a cluster of black holes. Mm. And that's what pulls a galaxy into being, gives it enough gravity that it starts forming stars and planets, and then gives it the rotation, because if you look at the Milky Way, it's a disc and it has spinning arms.
Not the candy bar, right?
No, not the candy bar.
Although a Milky Way with spinning arms might be the next big step for the candy industry.
That would be interesting for certain. But like, you know, that's kind of where they believe that this kind of gives more, just a little more detail about how and why that might actually work. And I just find that it just kind of blows my mind when you think about how big space is, how much everything affects each other. It's like the idea that everything's interconnected is so much more practical than it seems like it should be.
I'm scared. The universe is a scary place.
It's kind of big.
What's the quote from Hitchhiker's Guide about like how it's so mind-bogglingly big you could never actually understand it, or something like that?
Yeah, something along those lines. Yeah. So you're better off just following the advice of the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy and don't panic.
Yeah. I need a hug.
I agree. Well, see, this is why you're great to have on the show, Caleb, because you bring the smart, interesting stuff, and my job, dumb it all down for everybody, because I got next on Robots Attack, the one and only Geek Center talk show on KSCU Santa Clara.
What is it? What is it?
It's Joe's Entertainment News.
Woohoo!
Entertainment News.
Alrighty, to start us off, we're going to be talking about the new Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie that's coming out by Michael Bay. That's right, it's just going to be called Ninja Turtles, but it's actually got a new release date now. The film, originally scheduled for May 16th, 2014, will now hit theaters on June 6th.
Oh, thank goodness. It's not near my birthday anymore.
Are you talking about this will be one of the greatest films ever created?
It'll be something, all
because there's also news recently that Megan Fox will play intrepid reporter April O'Neil. So that's awesome because Megan Fox is hot.
Stop kicking me in the childhood. Care Stop it.
About anything else. She's nice to look at. So there you have some Ninja Turtle news. Okay, moving on to perhaps something that maybe is more interesting to you. This is an article about that I snagged from IGN. Del Toro, Guillermo del Toro, for those who don't know, Del Toro's Dark Universe still on track. Filmmaker preps to make his pitch to DC and Warners. Although Warner Brothers is having a tough time with its ever-wavering Justice League movie, it sounds like Guillermo del Toro's Avengers-style Dark Universe flick is still on the right track. Quote, I'm going to be presenting my storyline to DC and Warners of where I want to take this universe, the filmmaker revealed to Total Film in a recent interview. Quote, we do have a writer, but until that is firmed up, I have to keep it a secret. I hope it happens. You can check out the rest of the article either on our Facebook page where I'll link it or go to IGN. Then we have some sad news. I mean, in a sense, this was pretty amazing that this game consistently did this every week, but it's going to come to an end in April. That's right. Weekly Rock Band song releases ending in April.
Aww.
Harmonix's weekly schedule of new songs being added to the Rock Band library will end in April as the studio transitions to, quote, other projects, the company announced a few days ago. The last weekly update of songs will come on April 2nd with, quote, what we feel is an appropriate track for the final release, said Harmonix. Quote, we have managed to maintain a consistent release schedule for a staggering 275 consecutive weeks, releasing over 4,000 songs for the Rock Band platform. Yeah, I got to give them my hands.
Yeah, that's impressive.
That is awesome that they've been able to...
Round of applause for Harmonix, everyone. That is hard to do.
Yeah. But in recent months, we've scaled production down as we've transitioned resources onto other projects, Harmonix said. The studio added that it has several new titles in development and needs developers on those projects to, quote, usher these new games along. Those requirements prevent the company from maintaining a less frequent, semi-regular schedule, Harmonix explained. According to Harmonix, the weeks between now and April 2nd will see the rest of the Rock Band Blitz songs be added to the Rock Band catalog, as well as pro guitar upgrades for existing songs and new tracks by artists that have not previously appeared in a Rock Band game. The company is also continuing its sale of 50% discounts on more than 1,100 Rock Band songs.
Woot.
Quote, we're incredibly proud of the DLC milestones we've set, especially producing the largest music library of any game available, and we wouldn't have been able to release as much outstanding content without the support of our amazing community. So yeah, for those, don't worry, all the songs will still be available for you to download if you so desire.
Awesome.
They're not going away at all. There just won't be any new tracks added to the library, but... I gotta say, still, again, it's pretty amazing that since the beginning they've been able to release a handful of songs every week.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, the music genre games are not where they were.
Not what they used to be.
Yeah, a few years ago, but they've still continued to...
Support the community. Because the people that are really into them are still really into them.
Right.
Yeah.
But how am I going to be able to download Taylor Swift's Trouble and play it on Rock Band? How? Tell me how.
You download that software they had where you can make your own songs and use that.
Ah, fooey.
Speaking on that, they did mention that the Rock Band network for the 360 will still be up and running.
Oh, wow.
Sweet.
Songs can be released that way, but not for any of the other platforms because of the infrastructure involved in it, is what I remember.
Well, there you go.
So
fans, if you want people of the world, if you wish to continue your rock band, your 360 may be your best option.
Yeah, but no new releases from Harmonix themselves.
Right.
So, yeah, that's all for entertainment news this week. We're going to take another quick little music break, and then come back with part one of the core. So, before we head out, Caleb, why don't you tell the folks how they can participate on the show.
How can you participate? You can hit us up on Facebook and Twitter. For Facebook, hit us up by doing a search for Robots Attack, two words, and that we should be the top of those search results. And if you want to follow us on Twitter, we are Robots Attack Me. Or you can find us on email, robotsattackshow@gmail.com. And all of these things are linked from our webpage, robotsattack.me. There's a button there that says interact. It has links to all the things I described, Facebook, Twitter, and email. And also it has archive episodes of our show, and you can leave comments there. You can leave comments on Facebook and Twitter and interact with us. We like it when you do. We have the both our Facebook and Twitter page open right now. So if you hit us up, we will give you a shout out. And that reminds me, we owe one of our listeners a shout out. Going back to our news story about the dog shooting at the owner, wanted to know if there is a picture of the dog, and then followed up with the quote, "Guns don't kill people. Dogs with guns kill people."
Do they? I forget. Was the dog? Did they say what kind of dog it was?
I don't think the story said.
I didn't think so, because now I'm imagining like a little teacup chihuahua, because that is hilarious.
I suspect it was probably a larger dog than that, but the teacup chihuahua is a very amusing thought.
Yeah.
How would that load the gun, number one, and magically change it from a .38 to a 9mm? Well, actually, no. Dogs. Teacup, they do have magical powers. Yeah. So yeah.
Dogs are magical.
Probably both, yeah.
Dogs are magical. Oh. I will go back quickly to the Del Toro story and mention that his roster of DC heroes that he wants to include are Swamp Thing, the Demon, John Constantine, Deadman, the Spectre, Zatara, and Zatanna.
Oh,
so,
man.
There you have it. But again, you can read the whole story on our Facebook page.
Oh, man, I just got chills.
On IGN.
Yeah, that's that is a darn good lineup of characters if they can pull that off.
I agree. All right, we are Robots Attack, the one and only geek-centric talk show on KSCU Santa Clara. We'll be right back with more geek stuff right after this.
Join Alan and Nella Henninger of Henninger Hill Apiary, sorry if I got that wrong, for a talk on honeybees. Learn all about honeybees and beekeeping, the benefits of attracting bees to your garden, the types of trees and plants that attract bees, and how to protect this precious resource. Participants will also get to tour Guadalupe River Park Conservatory's new beehive in the Guadalupe Gardens. The event is Saturday, March 2nd from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. Pre-registration is required. Call 408-298-7657 or visit www.grpg.org.
You are now entering the core. Enjoy your stay.
Hello, everyone. We're in the core, and we're going to start off the core by talking about a game demo that we played called Phantom Breaker Battlegrounds. A little background, this game is for Xbox 360 Arcade. It's probably available on other systems. I'm not positive about that, though, but I played it on Xbox 360.
Yeah, same here. And it's actually a spinoff of a game that apparently is really popular overseas, but for whatever reason has been really struggling to get over here. It's a spinoff of a fighting game that is sort of fan service-y, best as I can tell, but because the cast is all, of course, the sexy ladies, done up all anime style and whatnot.
Right, right.
Large weapons.
Go on!
Don't apply any Freudian logic to the large weapon side of things, because that will hurt your brain. But yeah, everything that I've heard about that game sounds like it's well worth playing. So
is it have the same first name title, Phantom Breaker? Or?
Yeah, it's okay. Phantom Breaker, period. Anyway, so this is a more side-scrolly, action-y, adventure-y, hack-and-slash sort of Scott Pilgrim video game-ish.
Yeah, if you played Final Fight, you've played a very similar game to this in terms of the basic mechanics.
Yeah, and I thought it was kind of neat just because it... I'll start off by a little bit of a disclaimer. I'm like a huge fan of Scott Pilgrim in general, and the video game was no surprise that I was like a huge fan of that also.
It's a good game.
It was kind of cool because it had like trying to be more of a, what, like a 16-bit style.
Yeah, yeah. It was very much in the, that one was very much in the final fight genre.
Right, but it was like really dedicated to that. It did all of the backgrounds that way and everything. Mm-hmm. And it did some interesting little twists on it by having a sort of a normal melee game like the old Ninja Turtles arcade game,
mm-hmm.
but giving it a little bit of an upgrade where your characters could level up and have equip items that affected your leveling and mm-hmm. stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So it was a nice little perk that allowed you to make better characters by playing multiple times, unlock new characters, a lot of neat stuff.
Costume changes, all that fun stuff.
Yeah, and so this is a lot the same idea, except it kind of takes it a step farther, I think.
Yes, it is one adds a little more RPG to the action RPG style genre.
Yeah,
okay.
It's kind of a neat idea because, well, number one, they definitely took the roots of it being a fighter game, and they took that to the nth degree. I'm not mm-hmm. sure a lot of the moves are even necessary, but it makes it look really cool that you can pull off all of these crazy combos, because it has, best I can tell, each character has like dozens and dozens of moves.
Yeah.
And so just on a visual aspect, it ends up looking really cool being able to chain together all of this stuff and whatnot. And the demo probably doesn't give a really great idea of how to do it, like how helpful that would be in mm-hmm. the long run.
Yeah, I found that because all four buttons are different types of attack, but the two buttons closest to the top, the blue and yellow one, like if you use those in combination, like hit them really fast, it made some pretty wicked, like long chain combos.
Yeah. Yeah, the... and this is for, of course, the Xbox controls, but the X button is like a really quick attack, the mm-hmm. Y is like a medium attack, and then the B button is like a heavy attack,
mm-hmm.
and the A button is effectively like skipping through cutscenes and stuff like that, or like using stuff.
Yeah, it's another medium like attack.
Oh, okay. And but the really neat part, and goes back to the RPG aspect, mm-hmm. I thought, was you unlock more abilities as you go, as you level up your character, and then you can map those abilities kind of Mass Effect multiplayer style
mm-hmm.
to be used over the course of the game, which I didn't get a really good feel of because it's really just the first level, but
yeah.
I'm really tempted to grab the game just so that I can mess around with that. And not to mention that it's animated really beautifully.
Yeah, I think that's one of its, like, just first approach to the game, one of its strongest points is the visual aesthetics, the animation quality, and the graphical style. Like, that's a full commitment to, like, making it as true to this as possible. So it looks really good.
Yeah. I mean, Scott Pilgrim, that game, it took those classic games and took the animation up a notch. But this, mm-hmm. I don't know if it's just how many more frames they put in or what, but it's like super smooth animations and,
yeah.
and cool stuff. The thing that is a departure from the normal, like, American sort of hack-and-slash games is that instead of having, like, a field that you can freely roam, it sort of has two train tracks
mm-hmm.
that you can jump between.
Yeah.
That ends up giving the illusion of a field,
mm-hmm.
but ends up making it so you can spread it out between four players a little bit more effectively without completely cluttering things.
Mm-hmm.
But the cool thing about it is that it ends up making it so it's much closer to it being a fighting game,
yes,
because you're not cluttered with it, like trying to maneuver around the maps near so much.
Yeah, yeah, it's a really interesting merge. Like when you told me that, when you mentioned that it was based on a fighter, it's like that makes a lot more sense about why it was set up the way it was.
Yeah, it definitely clicks okay. together a little bit more.
Because mm-hmm. like at first I was like, huh, there's no, it has a bit of Z depth in the design of the level. I was like, okay, there's nobody back. I can't get back there. Just go back and forth. That's not so bad. It's a very, very side-scrolly thing. And then I accidentally hit one of the shoulder buttons, and it bounced me backwards. I'm like, oh, Oh, I can do that. Okay.
Yeah, at first I was confused too until like one of the enemies just kept walking back and forth on the track.
Yeah.
And it was like, what do I do? I mean, is it a glitch in the game? Did I break something? And
yeah.
I check the controls and then sure enough, like I can jump between tracks.
So this is not like Skullgirls?
Skullgirls is actually like a full-on fighter game,
okay.
And it's more of a Flash-style animation. This one is, it actually tries to nail the 16-bit animation style. It's
okay.
Actually pixelated and everything,
okay,
but still looks really slick. The neat thing that they did, too, is unlike the Pilgrim game where they went full 16-bit, like, mapped backgrounds and everything,
mm-hmm.
This one did something kind of neat, and they did through, like, a 16-bit rendering image engine on a three-dimensional background. And so it actually ends up allowing for interesting camera work of it zooming in and out of areas and whatnot.
Okay.
And I thought that was really cool. Mm-hmm. It's one of the things that I really liked in Final Fantasy Tactics back in the day was having the camera being able to swoop around and see things, even if it didn't really work very well with the game sprites themselves. It mm-hmm. ended up giving a really cool illusion, and they sort of did that with this too, which is nice. It allows a little bit more of a cinematic feel to
yes.
something that's a side-scroller hack-and-slash game.
Yeah. And what's also kind of interesting is that I don't know if you ever found this, but you can do a special attack where you can be in either of the two planes or tracks and do an attack that affects the other side.
Oh, okay. I did not find that, but there's enough attacks that you'll probably be finding stuff for days.
Yeah, you'll be like, wait, that button combination does that? Oh, okay, sweet.
Yeah.
It's very simple, very approachable in terms of how you play it, which I think is really cool. It's uncluttered and uncomplicated, but it's still has enough discovery aspects. Like we were talking, like I found something that Jason didn't find and he figured out something before I even knew how to do that. Like that you end up like still getting a very rewarding experience out of it, I think.
Yeah. And it's neat too, because they have a pretty decent selection of characters that you can mess around with. And
mm-hmm.
I think like a half dozen characters from what I can tell.
Yeah.
And then it's 4-player co-op. I think it's just local, like the Pilgrim game, as far as I could tell. But
I thought I saw a live option as one of the...
Okay. Well, that's definitely a one up on Pilgrim, and something that Pilgrim has been working on for over a couple of years now, I guess,
yeah.
to update. But so they got that going, which mm-hmm. is unusual, but yeah, and I was impressed, and I'm most likely gonna end up grabbing it if nothing else, as soon as it goes on sale, it's gonna end up in my collection.
Yeah,
nice. How about yourself, Caleb? Did you enjoy it?
I actually did. I liked it quite a bit. It was I wasn't sure what to expect of it at first. And I was like, huh, what's this?
Mm.
Oh, this is kind of cool. Yeah. Oh, it's kind of fun. Hey, here we go. I'm doing more stuff. Hey, yeah, I would, since I'm currently still on spending lockdown, I don't know if I'll pick it up just now, but it would definitely be on the list of games to be like, I would pick it up if I could. I think it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, we'll throw a link to the Microsoft site so you can see how much it costs and whatnot. It's not super expensive,
mm-hmm.
but yeah, it's worth a check out.
Cool. All righty. Well, before we get to our second part of the core and our music break, Jen will beguile us with another...
A PSA? Say. Of course, a PSA! KSCU loves you. That's why we give away free tickets to the best local shows. You can see upcoming ticket giveaways by going to kscu.org and looking at our events page.
All right. Sweet.
Free giveaways. Woo!
Gotta love free.
Can't beat the price.
I don't.
You
I am
would.
Grumpy cat about free.
You would. Well,
that's true.
Before we get to our music break, why don't you tease the folks again, Super Jason, about our the topic for the core part 2?
Core Part 2, we're going to be talking about the games that we grew up with, whether they were board games or most likely video games, knowing us.
Yeah.
That it's kind of neat seeing all the different movies that are coming out that take elements from those games or try and become like a full-on movie, whether it fails or not, and some of the upcoming projects that are trying to do that with things like Spy Hunter, and in my view, a really good one, Wreck-It Ralph, even though it's arguable whether it was actually about any of the games or not, but still.
Yeah.
And trying to take those games and see if we can figure out what to make a high enough class movie that it might actually catch an Oscar.
Alrighty, so you'll definitely want to tune in for that. That'll be right after this quick music break. We are Robots Attack, the one and only geek-centric talk show on KSCU Santa Clara.
Or HTML.
Okay, we're going to start off this conversation. Basically, we're trying to figure out old things.
No. When we come back from the music break, you got to tell people what they're listening to. Robots Attack, the one and only geek-centric talk show on KSCU Santa Clara.
Perfect.
We're in the core part two.
That's right.
Part two. Now, Super Jason.
Okay. Okay. We were talking about trying to figure out how to make games from our childhood into something that's Oscar-worthy, basically.
Mm.
And the first thing that I was thinking was trying to make this as difficult as possible for myself, unfortunately. So I went back to the earliest games that I could think of and or that I played or messed around with and tried to apply some of the things that I'd heard other people talk about and so on that kind of struck my fancy. And so I'll admit, this first one, a lot of the ideas are kind of heavily lifted off of the extra credits team over at Penny Arcade, because they brought up a lot of really interesting ideas about a game that ends up being completely overlooked because it's so simple, and that's Missile Command.
No, okay.
Okay.
So it's the simplest thing in the world. You're basically you're trying to fend off all of these missiles coming in at cities, which ends up being kind of a big deal because it's one of the first games back in the time where you're actually trying to protect somebody else instead of going out and slaughtering hordes of things or controlling inanimate objects and stuff like that.
That's a good point.
Yeah. It has a fair amount of depth built into it that you didn't have in a lot of those other games. And the thing that was pointed out that I thought was kind of staggering when you thought about it is eventually you get to the point where you have to choose what city you're going to protect.
Oh.
And you have three cities, and eventually it gets so tough to protect them that you have to go down to one.
Mm-hmm.
And so in a weird sort of way, it ends up creating the framework for games that we have today, like Mass Effect and stuff like that.
Yeah, where the morality choices,
exactly. It becomes a morality choice over something that seems like really simple. But if you apply a little bit of depth to it, it ends up becoming kind of a big deal. Now, I realize in a weird sort of way, the movie has been done a few times, especially back in the 80s, because you have, heck, I can't remember the names of them at this point, but many a Matthew Broderick movie, for one thing.
War Games?
Yeah. And but still, it seems like it would end up being a pretty interesting movie as far as if you could get the right character kind of trapped in this position, like nobody expected something really horrible like this to happen, and it's a guy who's forced to make all of these big decisions all by himself, it could end up creating a lot of drama, it seems to me. And who knows what sort of enemy you could have. I'd kind of hope that it doesn't end up being
aliens.
I It's the easiest thing to do, and it's the most politically correct thing to do until we actually meet aliens, and then it becomes unpolitically correct, I guess. Well,
I mean, the other alternative would be like a Skynet-like scenario where
the robots
take over.
That's the other thing that I was thinking, is that it's very John Connor as far as like Terminator 3. So
yeah.
So you're saying this movie will be called Robots Attack?
It very well could be.
Dun, dun, dun.
My theory is that the movie would be called Missile Command, and I was thinking more along the lines of an old shut down missile defense base, because everybody figures that things are all safe and dandy and the world has become perfectly happy and there is no more war type of utopia situation. And then it all goes horribly wrong. But
there you go.
Would you have the movie just take place in that command though center, or
that's where it could get interesting too, because you could have him still, I mean, assumingly this would be either now or a little bit in the future, because it being in the past would end up kind of weird.
Yeah.
But I mean, effectively, you have the technology that you have now. You could have him trying to live stream his parents, for instance, in this one city, and being like having that moment where he realizes his parents live in kind of a small town versus like the big metropolis that he has to use resources to save. Mm-hmm. That could end up becoming kind of a big moment, and having him like in an actual like camera conversation with parents, even if it's in Missile Command, you could still have it like going to the parents' home or something like that. And them being bewildered, like, what the heck's going on? Why are we getting a call from George all of a sudden, or whatever?
Or they even could be in a major metropolitan area, and it's just the heat. It's one that you. It's like either short resources or there is a break in the system. Like, there's a whole bunch of things that could possibly go wrong that happen.
And it could even be like, you can throw in a little bit of Spider-Man there, like, with great power comes great responsibility. Like, the dad being like, well, I hate to say this, son, but you might have to sacrifice us. Something like that. And the mom, like, crying. Or better yet, to make it more politically correct, the mother saying, you know, we're gonna have to take one for the team, and then the father like crying, no, my wife,
I don't want to die,
I don't want to die.
We have one of them shout a line of like, see, playing all those video games did play off.
Yeah.
Sparkle, ding.
The more you know. Wait a minute.
Anyway, I think there's an entire mine of really interesting areas that you can go into with something like that that I don't think has necessarily been touched by movies so far. Tons and tons of drama that can happen.
Okay.
Okay.
Should we move down the line?
Yes.
To Jen?
Sure.
I just put you on the spot.
Follow that.
I mean, I, unfortunately, I was telling the gang a little bit earlier that my experience is kind of limited, unfortunately. I did start off as an early gamer with the Atari.
Go with what you know.
Yeah, but I mean, but that's sort of the thing. It's like, you know, I played, you know, like basketball and E.T. and there was this.
Oh, you're actually able to play E.T.? You are a phenomenal gamer.
she kidding me? I was like, what, like six? And I was all like, I don't know what to do with this game. Like everybody else, apparently.
Yeah.
It's like, what's the point? I'm in the forest. I'm in the forest. I can make my neck. Look, if I press this button, my neck gets long.
Yeah.
Wow.
But yeah, so I had the Atari when I was little. I had the Nintendo, and then I got to the Sega, and then I stayed with the Sega until the PlayStation 2 came out.
Okay.
I mean, was there ever a game that you were like, you know, you just started making stories up about the characters, about the scenario, because...
No, unfortunately.
What about...
But,
I mean, is there a game that you think could... Oh, maybe they could make this one into a movie.
Well, I was going to go a little bit later. I was going to go... I mean, everybody's going to see this coming, I'm sure, but... Final Fantasy VII.
Mm.
I think it could be done. You know, I mean, there are people, there of course are hardcore geeks that are just going to, you know, flip out when things aren't exactly the way they are in the game. Or, oh, where's this secret character? You, oh my gosh, they didn't have the secret character. Or, you know, oh, they totally missed this part of the story. I mean, you played this game for 30 to 60 hours. There are going to be things that aren't going to be in it. Mm-hmm. But,
little kids, teenagers, or adults?
Ooh, that's a good point. Let's see. I think if it could be done so that it could be for major, for general audiences.
Well, I mean, the cast.
How
would you cast it?
Oh, that's a good point. Let's see. It would be kind of interesting to do sort of like the coming of age, like the like the Hunger Games.
Okay.
You know, like you have, I mean, obviously they did have some younger kids, but I'm thinking like,
yeah,
you know, the 18, 19, maybe 20 year old.
Okay.
You know, I mean, because, I mean, it is kind of funny. I mean, there's plenty of jokes out there about how, you know, you have these really powerful characters and it's like, dude, he's 17. Yeah. So, I mean, that, you know, is a deviation that I would feel would be okay with. You know, I'm sure there's a lot of people who say no, and then there's a lot of people who'll be like, you know, Brad Pitt in his heyday, you know, you can have a 30-year-old, what's the problem, you know? So that's just my opinion. I mean, it does have a lot of grittiness to it, which I think, you know, could, that's why I don't think it would be a younger audience movie. I realize that isn't what you were asking, but
okay.
You know, and there's a lot of self-identity, you know, sort of stuff going on. It could be a deep movie if that's how they wanted to go. I don't think psychological movies do so well these days. But, you know, there's a lot of action to be had. There's a lot of good characters. There's, you know, there's definitely a story here.
Would you go, if you had the choice, movie or like mini series or like, you know, short series or something?
Yeah, you know, actually, it would probably be better as a miniseries, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, I think because there is enough story that they could truncate it, but then again, you know, you have all these hours of even just like strict gameplay and not all the side quests and stuff, and there could be a lot more that could go that way. I think that would be a good format for it.
Like a 3-episode miniseries, something like that, 2 hours each. That'd be 6 hours of film. That'd be should be plenty enough to tell most of the story.
Yeah, I would agree.
Yeah.
Although then you do have the question about like, what about the red, what's his name? Red 13, you know, he's the dog cat thing. And then you have the cat Sith thing also too. It's like, well, what do you do with those characters? You want to just make them CG or do you want to adapt them into people? It's like, those are harder to sort of figure out. What do you do with these characters?
CG.
Everyone loves Ted. So
yeah.
Point. So yeah, so that's my contribution here.
Nice. Right, well, on. Before Caleb gets to his,
mm-hmm.
we'll have Jen read another PSA.
I have a PSA to read. Are you looking for an easy way to find volunteer opportunities in your area? Volunteer.gov, created by several government agencies to help America's natural and cultural resources, makes it easy for you to find volunteer activities across the country. Search by date or by state to find an array of volunteer opportunities, from serving in a wildlife refuge to help cleaning up a national park. Volunteer.com gives you the tools to go out into your community and start volunteering. It's pretty cool. They actually have a wide array of things you can do.
Yeah, they're working on making the government more transparent, so that's cool.
Sweet.
All right, so enough about that. We're supposed to be talking about games you want to see turned into movies. And my first one's going to be a little bit obvious, mostly because of Prometheus. And I mentioned it in my review of Prometheus, but I want to see Metroid with Charlize Theron as Samus. I mean, I don't think that a Metroid movie would necessarily be an Oscar winner, but I think it could be a really solid film. Because if you...
Would you base it off of any of the particular games, or would you like take chunks from each one? Or
I would say it's the Metroid Prime game storyline was pretty solid, I think, because it actually had something that resembled more of a story. Otherwise, okay. I don't think the thing I like about the idea of making a Metroid movie is that it wouldn't have to be specifically any one game. There's enough.
Would you want to scrap it and just do your own thing, maybe, or
Potentially, like,
because
you are the director. You're the writer. You're everything.
The basic premise of the game is about exploring a new place and a new culture and a new being's existence, and killing the many of the little things that surround you. That's a different issue entirely. But like it's at its heart.
Ignore that for a moment.
It's at its heart.
Ignore the killing.
Adventure story where you go into a place you've never been before, encounter things you've never seen. Some of them try to kill you. Some of them don't. And then, you know,
can you kill the things that you're not supposed to kill? That's the question.
Typically not.
Okay.
But the idea of it. But I think, you know, you can make a compelling movie out of that with, you know, discovery, and then like if you maybe incorporate more human characters in it besides Samus, because in the games you're pretty much by yourself for the whole game, and while that's good for a game, it's not so good for a movie. So like maybe like. Sent in for a downed space pirate ship or mining vessel of some sort, like as kind of the launch to kind of get everything to get things rolling. Potentially add a small crew that works with Samus, not necessarily maybe not in the field per se, but like connections to like an organization. Like she has like a contact that sort of filters her mail for her essentially, or makes the contacts and does the deals kind of thing. That I think there'd be ways of making a compelling cast besides outside of Samus's suit, you know.
Yeah.
So I would like to see that. Plus,
is there a movie that's already out that, you know, I'm not saying like make it exactly like that, but kind of like
gets the feel right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So if you were pitching it to someone, like, think this.
Okay. That's a very good question. I hadn't thought of that aspect before now.
Indiana Jones or Star Wars.
I was thinking more along the lines of the new Star Trek, where it's like there's an event, something going on, and you're a part of
Sister Act 1 or 2.
Ooh, definitely 2.
Batman, the old live action show with Adam West. No, but something along the lines of a Star Trek like scenario, potentially somewhere between like Star Trek and the first Alien movie, where it's like there's things going on. There's larger stuff, but it's not necessarily like the crack team specialists out there. Okay. It's Samus is the top of the specialist pile when out in the field, but they all have their, but like it might be a crew of like, yeah, I guess Alien, the first Alien movie, it'd probably be most like kind of what I'm thinking. Okay. Something along those lines of exploration.
And that kind of feel too? Would you want it to be that kind of feel? Or
really heavy on the suspense, like almost towards the horror area? Or
not quite so much that. I guess it'd be a little bit more action-oriented like Aliens, but with a small, tight cast and crew like in Alien, where it's maybe in a confined space that you're working in. Like, say it's just the one ship.
So you're combining Aliens with Avatar then?
Yeah, I guess.
Sure.
So. Yeah, if you want to go that way, sure.
Yeah, sounds good.
Mm-hmm. How about you? Okay. What's yours?
Well, I got one here that'll win like everything. Okay.
Win all the Oscars.
Bring it.
Listen up, folks. We're all familiar with Tremors, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, bam. We're going to redo that. Make it Dig Dug.
Oh, snap.
I'm done.
Drop the mic. Dunk.
Super Jason, what's your next one?
No, we got to go casting on this, at least.
I'll let you decide whatever you want.
Oh, man.
Super Jason?
What's Sparkly name? What's that Sparkly guy's name? Robert Pattinson?
Sure, throw him in it. Girls like that guy, right?
Nice. Okay, well, I have to admit, like, this next one was probably colored quite a bit, as far as my twist on it, by... I just ended up getting a copy of Sucker Punch. I'm a sucker for that movie. Not a great movie, but
it punches you in all the right places.
It punches me in some good places. So anyway, I was really excited. Like I bought it off of Amazon. Instantly got the rental for it. I was like, oh yeah, I can watch it now. Nice. And so did that last night. But I was sort of thinking, I don't know why my brain ended up plugging this together, like the cast of Gauntlet.
Okay.
And for some reason, like, the wizard always seemed really out of place to me. Like, because it's this old wizened guy versus all of these, like, big buff youngsters or whatnot. So I was thinking more along the lines of something where it's... like, the real world is this old guy trying to hold on to his sanity and trying to remember some of the more important memories in his life. Mm-hmm. And it could be in the future where it was a guy who went through all of these video games, like, grew up with that sort of stuff, and it would end up being the cast of the Gauntlet side of things would really be his family members trying to walk him through events to find the hidden treasure orb that is, like, his most valuable memories sort of thing.
Okay. That could be kind of interesting.
And granted, a storyline similar.
Food badly.
Right.
Sustenance.
Granted, like, sustenance. The original game and whatnot, it's probably not the perfect transition to it. But it seems like if you completely went for broke as far as trying to make it more of a Lord of the Rings type of experience, as far as, like, the drama and dedication to it being a realistic place in this guy's mind, I think it has possibilities. But granted, a little bit of sucker punch ends up, like, bleeding into it in my mind as far as, like, that tried to be really complicated and deep, and it didn't really carry it off. So in a weird sort of way, as much as I love that movie, ends up being, like, the warning.
Right.
Don't do it this way.
Not like this. Okay. All right.
Well, my advice, check out a Tom Hanks classic, Mazes and Monsters.
Okay.
I'm being serious, too.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Jen, do you have another one, or should we go to... Caleb.
I do have another one. Okay. This one's not a video game, though.
Nice.
That works.
This, I think it would have to be...
Chutes and Ladders.
Yes, Chutes and Ladders. Candyland. I guess that was kind of done
Wreck-It
in
Ralph.
I was actually thinking about a Micro Machines game, but then, you know, exactly. It's kind of like, it was kind of done in Wreck-It Ralph. but
it could be fun, though, still.
Yeah. And you could have these little guys. And this would be more like a kid's movie. This isn't even the one I was
talking
about.
Yeah. Talk about the one
focus on the one you want to talk about.
The one I was thinking about was, okay, you guys ready for it?
Yes.
I hope you guys have all seen this. Do you guys remember the Gargoyles cartoon?
Yes.
I would love, absolutely love to see that done into a movie.
Yes.
And I think this is
a
another
live action movie or a CG.
I think it would have to be either very heavily CG or a completely CG movie, unfortunately.
Okay.
But I mean, you know, seeing Avatar actually gives me hope that you could have a mostly CG and still have real people in it and have it still work.
Mm-hmm.
I think this could be, it could be done really well. You'd have a little bit of problems because there were a lot of gargoyles, a lot of characters.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you condense it down to like the first season or two, there was still a pretty tight group of characters before they started getting all like Mists of Avalon.
Right. Yeah. And so I think it could be done, and I think it could be well enough done that it could be received by general audiences.
Mm-hmm.
And you do have the one human character who I think really that should be the one to sort of to follow. That way you're with her. I forgot her name.
Elisa Maza,
my first cartoon crush.
Sweet, you guys. But yeah, you could follow her, and then that way you could totally be from her perspective, and then it's just like, whoa, what the heck is going on? What are you guys?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then have it sort of be discovered, and then you can do sort of the flashback. You don't have to do the like 4-episode backstory that the show had.
It's the same question as last time: movie or miniseries?
I would like to see it done as a movie.
Okay.
It might be kind of a long movie, but they don't seem to have much of a problem with doing that these days.
Yeah.
Yeah, and if it's a good enough movie, you can always do more stories of sequels.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Pirates of the Caribbean got four movies out of a ride in Disneyland.
It's true. And then you could have Michelle Rodriguez play Eliza, right?
Ah, Super Jason's
heavy thumbs up coming from me.
Super Jason's very excited.
I love where you're going with this.
He's very excited.
Mm-hmm. And what do you guys think? Do you think this could be a general audience's movie, or do you think they'd have to like dumb it down, have it kid movie, or what do you guys think?
No, I think it could work. It depends on how they work the plot. I mean, if they work it as a focus on the human element, like, you know, Elisa Maza as a as a detective and just sort of going through things, and then all of a sudden this weird stuff that's going on. I mean, it could be really, I think it could be pretty good.
Yeah, and it becomes a question too, like, do you make the center of the story like from the Gargoyles perspective, like the cartoon series does, mm-hmm. or do you make it from the detective's perspective so it ends up being like slowly unlocking all of these things? Because there's a long time where the Gargoyles are trying to stay quiet and whatnot.
Yeah, season one.
Yeah.
But yeah. I think it has tons of potential as far as drama goes, and I think Go for Broke as far as that. I think it could be gold. But.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just pick the style to go with and go with that. Don't, like, flop between, like, family-friendly movie and then serious drama.
Yeah.
Like, mm-hmm. It's fine to have moments of humor and that sort of thing, but pick one. Don't.
Yeah, like even the dark...
My opinion, anyway.
Yeah, the Nolan movies, they had a sense of humor at times.
But very little slapstick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But their focus was telling the story of Batman, Bruce Wayne, a man so driven by, you know, was his inner demons that he's going out in a costume and beating the snot out of other people. Yeah. It's like, you know, that's a...
Well, when you put it that way.
Well, but like the
well, we all know Batman.
Yeah.
We can talk about Batman for hours and hours, but that's not the topic of tonight.
It is not the topic. You're right. Yeah. So, focus.
I think even a movie of Gargoyles might even actually make the story better, because after a while it's just like, oh, this bad thing happened. Who's behind it? Xanatos.
Or Demona. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Or that weird, like, even that offshoot group was hired by Xanatos. I already forgot who they are too.
Oh, the pack.
My God, I love you. Yeah, I mean, that was all kind of ridiculous. And again, it was like, oh, this thing, we have no idea who's... It's Xanatos, don't even. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. Yeah.
All right.
I think we all like the idea.
What?
Mm-hmm.
Caleb?
I got stuck in video game mode for a little bit here. So my second one is a classic arcade pick, Centipede.
Okay.
Now,
okay.
The
Wow, you were more adventurous than I was, and I thought I was being pretty adventurous.
Well, yeah, like, why Centipede? Well, one of the reasons is the side panel art from the arcade box. It's an elf dude fighting a giant centipede. Mm. Now,
okay,
that in and of itself, to me, speaks... You could make a story out of that. It's okay. Like, it would be shades of, you know, Jack the Giant Slayer and others of that ilk. But I think it would... You know, you have room for development of a character, a plot. You know, the centipede could be an element of the story. The giant spiders could be an element of the story. I mean, I guess.
Okay.
It's sort of.
Let me throw something at you. You have it where it begins as the elf thinking, like, okay, this is the goal of my entire life. I'm gonna slay the centipede. And at some point, he ends up realizing that the centipede is really a part of the bigger ecosystem and is very valuable. And really, it's other people who need to be fought off. Whoa. To save the centipede.
That's deep.
Have you seen Fern Gully?
Maybe. / Avatar /
Environmental Movie Number 67.
Right.
Potentially, my thought would be.
I'm just saying it's gonna win an award.
I just think it has potential, because if you make a good, make the characters interesting enough, the you know, maybe it's
setting, fantasy, science fiction, future. What are you thinking?
I'm thinking fantasy-esque, sort of.
So like Lord of the Rings.
Lord of the Rings, Dragonheart kind of thing, where it's like...
Okay. I'd just be happy to have an elf character that isn't as douchey as the Lord of the Rings mm-hmm. character, but...
Yeah.
That's just my view.
What's wrong with Legolas, dude? What? What?
Douchey.
So, yeah, that's my second pick.
We got a tweet about Dig Dug movie. See? Booyah, yep. It won.
Mm-hmm. Dig Dug.
I don't know. It says LOL.
Yeah, laugh out loud. Awesome. Okay, well, we are Robots Attack on KSCU Santa Clara, the one and only geek-centric talk show on KSCU Santa Clara. We're in the second part of our core discussing games from our past being turned into movies or miniseries or even TV shows and all that jazz. We're running pretty much out of time. Is there any other ones you want to quickly mention before we wrap this up? Or
there was one I saw on Caleb's list, and I was hoping we could get to him and then I could just sort of chime in, because unfortunately I didn't own this game, but I watched people play it, and so I was thinking about Legend of Zelda.
Mm.
I was thinking sort of a Lord of the Rings kind of approach to it would be kind of cool.
So another obvious one.
Yeah.
All right.
Stop
way to
laughing,
end the show.
Jason. Stop laughing.
Way to end the show on the
he's
obvious
just so
one.
Mean.
I'm just saying.
The side panels
there's
on the Oreo like, reviews.
I'm just saying. I mean, you know, you've got Missile Command, Centipede, Dig Dug, Ding Ding, the win. I mean, Legend of Zelda, Metro, I mean, you know, it's...
You know,
I mean,
gonna
you
call,
even had okay, gargoyles. I'll, that
I'm
was
I'm
going to
throw this in. I
that
mean,
was good.
Here's the thing, though. Why hasn't it been done yet? I mean, the Mario Brothers movie got made.
I think
made.
That's why it hasn't been done yet.
I mean, yeah. And, well, you suppose it's more that, or...
Imagine
the
it's
Legend
been
of
tried
Zelda
and
animated series. No way. Which one ruined it more?
I think the answer to that is still yes.
Okay.
Yeah,
because
okay.
I'll leave it at that.
Yeah. We'll let the audience ponder on that one.
I'm gonna call Joe Simon Cowell from now on. He's the Simon Cowell of our show.
Hey, that
Joseph Cowell.
That dude. That dude's rich. I'll gladly take that.
And like Simon Cowell, you're going to make me cry every night.
But to see you learn, though, from it, he's like the real one on there. He doesn't just like fluff everything.
Oh.
Okay. Yeah. Since I won with Dig Dug, I won't bother the other ones that I have because I don't want to blow it out of the water. Okay. Well, that has been the second part of our core. We discussed games that we enjoyed in our past, made into movies. I like all of the choices that we made, even the obvious ones, because, mm-hmm. you know, hey, it's entertainment. I don't even know why you're getting mad. It wasn't even your idea.
Okay, you got her on that one.
See? Ding, ding, one again. All right, on behalf of myself, Caleb, Jen.
Yes.
Who has a fan.
Yes, she does.
Does have a fan.
Yay!
And we're all jealous.
Yeah. That's why I tease her. And Super.
I'm going to go for the obvious stuff from now. Yeah.
And Super Jason, we want to thank you for listening to Robots Attack. We're here every Thursday, 7-ish to 9-ish, mm-hmm. Talking about the geek stuff, bringing you the geek stuff. And before we get out of here, Caleb's going to do what he does best, rock you with how you can... communicate to us and all that jazz.
This is how you rock it out and talk to us. That's right. You can hit us up on Facebook. Do a search for Robots Attack and like our page, please. We need just a few more to become officially official, and then it'll be a lot easier to find.
Put a ring on us.
Yeah. Then there is our Twitter account, which is Robots Attack Me, which we have a one final shout out for the ups for the Zelda movie, which would they recommend pulling elements from the game so as to not
the game
than,
with Michael Douglas. That's
no, not
interesting.
The game.
I like that. Dang,
that had that creepy doll. And then, oh yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Well, yeah. I wonder, would you have Link jump off of a building? And smash
oh, definitely.
And then, you know, going up to was it? Who was this brother? Was it Sean Penn?
I can't remember.
Oh, anyway, that's an interesting suggestion. Never would have thought of the game. Michael Douglas.
Yes. wouldn't necessarily be obvious that it was a Zelda movie to begin with. Then
So that's our Twitter account. And then you can always get us on email, robotsattackshow@gmail.com. And if all of that's just a little bit too much to keep in mind all at the same time, just remember robotsattack.me. That is our website. It has links to all of the things I've already described on our interact page, Facebook, Twitter, email, and you can leave comments on the blog. You can also listen to archived episodes, and please feel free to give us your feedback about stuff at any point in time.
Yeah, give us ideas for stuff to talk about during the core.
Mm-hmm. Or yeah,
if you find an interesting story, give us a link.
Yeah, please do.
Anything.
Yeah, definitely. And if you have any webcomic ideas, feel free to send my way. I only can read so much. So anything you guys can recommend is awesome. Thank you for listening.
Yeah.
We'll see you all next week.
Yeah, have a great weekend and Friday and all that stuff. Alrighty, we are Robots Attack signing off.
Raccoon, Veronica, Mistel.